We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into this all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Appreciate you guys being here. My apologies for being a little bit later on this episode than usual. This episode took a little bit more prep than I was expecting, so I got to about 2:30 in the morning, early Wednesday morning, and was still finishing prep, and I'm like, I probably need to go to bed and then just do this on Wednesday. So that's why we're a little bit later, hoping to get this up right around noon or maybe 1 p.m. on Wednesday. But as you're listening to this, just know I apologize, it's a little bit late. Quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Mirko Leonard, Daniel Martini, hopefully related to Greer Martini, and Chess Irwin. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Also, as I've been talking about, Timber Rattlers game this coming Friday, hour-long Q&A with me ahead of the game. And then, of course, you get the tickets to the game, the Q&A, everything for $10, $10 per ticket. And if you are a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, sign up, get your two tickets, and I will reimburse you for the two tickets. Just shoot me an email, packadaypodcast@gmail.com. And again, two tickets I will reimburse you for. If you want to email me first to go through logistics, definitely do so. But I would love to see some of you guys out there. So if you're a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, email me and I'll try to hook you up with a couple of those tickets. But again, this Friday, I'll put the link to those tickets if you're interested in the show notes. So I would love to see a bunch of you guys out there Friday at the game for the Q&A. A lot of draft questions, I'm sure. So it should be super exciting. All right, let's go over today's episode, and that is going to be building out a Packers big board. And what I wanted to try to do today is go first round, second round, third round, and then fourth through seventh round and build out a Packers-centric big board using a variety of different things. Things that we know, relative athletic scores, thresholds, historical visits, we'll go through all of that. But before we get there, just on Wednesday morning, there's been a lot of discourse and discussion about the thresholds, the relative athletic scores, the historical data, and whether or not it's worthwhile, whether it's, you know, I understand there are some people that speak a little bit more in absolutes of like, there's no way Green Bay will take this player. That's not me. I will let you know who I think they're more likely to take, but Goody is unpredictable and the draft is an inexact science, and anything can go in a variety of different directions. If you love a player that doesn't hit Green Bay's historical thresholds, that's okay. Jay Sternberger didn't. Amari Rodgers didn't. Jaden Reed totally didn't. They do go outside of their realm of usual likes and dislikes from time to time. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because a player is more likely than another to be a quote-unquote Packers type, it doesn't have to limit anything. And certainly Brian Gutekunst is not going to be handcuffed and limited by what, you know, his historical trends have been. If there's a player on this draft board that doesn't hit their thresholds that we've normally seen in the past, and he loves that player, guess what? He's the decision maker. Not me, not you, not anyone else in that front office, not a scout, not Ron Wolf from the Packers way and what he wrote about of what the Packers should, none of it. He is. He's the ultimate decider. And I think it's always important too, that we understand what we do know and understand what we don't know. we do know a lot of the historical trends, and Green Bay has been a very trend-based drafting team. Not always. We just talked about that. There are some outliers. There's always going to be outliers. But when you look, especially at Goody's draft from his first draft until now, there are some very clear and obvious trends, not only in the first round, but we know they love super high athletic profiles. In the first round, we've discussed it. It has been all except Jordan Love have been players from big time schools in the first round. We have seen relative athletic scores over 8.0. We have seen 22 and younger players far more often than not. And we've seen premium position players far more often than not. We've discussed all of this ad nauseum in a variety of different episodes, but it is worthwhile noting that these are things that Green Bay has valued in the past, and it's likely that they're going to value those things in the future. It's also important to know what we don't know. And that's where we can't be absolutists and say Green Bay will not take this player. What I mean by that, it is possible that there is a player in this draft that tested with a bad 40 time, that tested bad in the agility drills, and has a really bad relative athletic score. And you look at that player and say, this is very clearly not a Green Bay Packer. But Green Bay they have the GPS data on that player from all the different games and practices and things that they've done. And they might look at that GPS data and say they were one of the most elite in-game testers or GPS data players in the entire draft. Their game speed plays insanely fast. And they could look at the tape and say, listen, I know the three cone was this, but they were actually dealing with an injury or some dehydration during the process. And if you go and look at the tape, their change of direction is one of the better change of direction skills in the entire class. That could completely undercut and knock out their poor three cone testing, their poor short shuttle, their poor 40 yard dash time. And the other better data that they have will take precedent. So we might look at it on paper and say, man, bad relative athletic score, bad three cone, bad 40. That's not a Packer every single time. But Green Bay has better data than we have. They have more knowledge. They have more information. They might love that player. Also, we could look at a Graham Barton, and this is not the case for Graham Barton, but we could look at a Graham Barton and say, holy crap, relative athletic score is amazing. Or there's a variety of players that we could use here as an example, but they hit the athletic thresholds, they hit the position thresholds, they hit the relative athletic score, all of it. They hit everything that Green Bay looks for, but they had him in for a visit and it was a terrible visit. Or they met with him at the combine and they were immature. They were, had off-field issues that they're concerned about. There could be an injury issue that they have a problem with. So we might look at a player, let's just say, we'll just use Graham Barton, who I have on the first round for the big board here. We might have Graham Barton as like clearly a first round prospect for Green Bay, and he might not even be on their board. And again, this is not specific to Graham Barton. Graham Barton, I don't think has any off-field or medical or any issues. So I'm just using this as a hypothetical example, but there's probably players that we have that we can look at and say, man, these look like perfect Green Bay Packers that aren't even on Green Bay's board because of some of the things that we don't know. So it is important to understand the things that we do know. It's also important to understand the things that we don't know. And it's also important to understand that this is an inexact science. The NBA, and the NBA is not perfect either, but the lottery is usually where you're going to get the really good players in the draft. Not always, but if you want, and it's usually early in the lottery. NBA has it a little bit more down to an exact science. Victor Wembanyama, there wasn't much question. Now, there's always a Giannis that sneaks through to what, pick 13 or wherever Milwaukee got him and things like that. So it's not perfect, but there's a more exact science to the NBA. With the NFL, you see Brock Purdy go in the last round. You see Tom Brady go in round six. The teams get quarterbacks wrong all the time. Lamar Jackson fell to 32. What, three quarterbacks went before Josh Allen? Two or three quarterbacks? Darnold Rosen? And did Rosen go ahead of Josh Allen? But either, I know for sure Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold went before Josh Allen. And then Rosen, I think, was in that same group. And then you had Lamar Jackson go 32 in that draft. And again, Brock Purdy, last pick, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers fell to 25, Alex Smith goes round one. This is not an exact science. So we can try to put it in a beautiful numerical format and what we like and what we don't like, but there is going to be a lot of variety in what GMs like in their specific draft boards. And there's a lot of times that GMs have a very specific thing that they want to accomplish in the draft. And over the history of Goody's time, that has more often been he wants athletes. But maybe this year, as I talked about last year, I said, hey, I think screw relative athletic scores. I need relative a-hole scores a little bit more because this team needs some, some jerks on that defense. I'm not saying it's that, but maybe Gut says, hey, I need tough guys on defense. So he's looking for that. He's like, I need some tough guys. Maybe it's whatever. It could be a variety of different things, but we don't know what Gut's flavor necessarily is going into this season. And then the other thing here too is if we look at this particular draft, even if we know all the thresholds and even if Goody is staying perfect to what he loves in his players and prospects, there is a really difficult time going through and picking a 1A prospect that is a complete Packers type in this draft. Terry Arnold has it. He's probably gone. Tyler Guyton is close to it, but he might just be a right tackle, which could be a little bit of an issue. That could be a problem. Kool-Aid McKinstry is close, but he doesn't quite have the usual relative athletic score that they like. There are a lot of players that are close, but there are very, very few that are exact perfect matches for Green Bay, even in the first round for this draft. It is likely that Green Bay is going to go outside of their tendency on something. What that is remains to be seen. Maybe it's one tendency, maybe it's two. But at some point, you need to draft good football players, regardless of whether or not they hit everything that you particularly like or not. And that might just be the case of what Green Bay specifically has to do at pick 25, like it has been when they took an off-ball linebacker in Quay Walker, when they took a 24-year-old Devontae Wyatt. There have been times in the past where they have had to go off their beautiful, perfect likes every now and again, and that could easily happen in this draft as well. Last but not least, this is all meant to be fun. It's meant to be a beautiful exercise in trying to figure out who Green Bay might select and what directions that they could go in and what players to look at going into the draft that are more likely to be Packers. It's not meant to be frustrating. It's not meant to be limiting. We'll all know soon enough exactly who these players are, and then we can unwrap all of our presents and see exactly what these players will likely be able to bring to the team in 2024. All right, so with all of that being said, let's do our absolute best to build out this Packers draft board. We're going to go sort of, again, round one, round two, round three, and then rounds four through seven. We're going to go sort of position by position. And the way that I built this was using the Green Bay Draft Guide. They do a tremendous job of labeling some of their Packers types, the tier one, the tier two, and going over all of their historical trends. So make sure to check out the Green Bay Draft Guide. I'm putting in any player that was in so far that we know of that was in for a top 30 visit, because we know Green Bay tends to like those players. And then all of the historical trends and data that we've accumulated over the years from the, you know, specifically the Ted Thompson and the Brian Gutekunst years to put together the most likely Packers. This is a best guesstimate. We're trying to narrow it down to the most likely Packers prospects. My guess, let's say they take 11 players. My guess is probably 8 to 9 are probably on this big board. Maybe 10, maybe all 11. We'll see. But I think there's a really good chance that the vast majority are on this big board in some capacity. I will post this board on Twitter as well. And just to note, there are 140 players on this board. You might say, like, Andy, the draft's a lot longer than that. That is a normal big board for teams. The Patriots sometimes have gone as low as 80 to 90 players on their draft board that they have as draftable prospects. The process for NFL teams is not necessarily putting 300, 400 players in order on their board. It's limiting it and breaking it down to the 100, 120, 140 players that they actually have interest in, and then building their board that way. And those players are not just tier one players, tier two, tier three, tier four, but you're going to see them all throughout the draft with anywhere from first to undrafted free agent grades that are potential on this board. So that's how we're going to build it out. Like I said, I ended up with 140 players total. So let's jump right in and let's go over our first round grades. And you might notice on this board, there are no quarterbacks. We'll start right there. And I think this is a really interesting conversation piece to start off with. And it's always in, like, one that I struggle with a little bit. So does Green Bay have Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jalen Daniels, JJ McCarthy, et cetera, off of their board entirely? Probably not. But let's be realistic here, okay? Green Bay, in no scenario, is taking a quarterback in the first round. If Caleb Williams falls to 25, it's an interesting hypothetical, right? Do you take the best player in the draft at pick 25 because he's there and you've got Jordan Love at quarterback about to make $55 million a year in a long-term extension? The answer is probably still no, but it's at least an interesting, like, what if? The truth is that if Caleb Williams falls to 25, there's probably some sort of gas mask incident a la Laramie Tunsil. And if 24 other teams passed on him, Green Bay's not going to be the team that stops it at pick 25. So if we're being realistic here, the quarterbacks, there's no quarterback that Green Bay is going to draft in the first round. So in my opinion, no quarterbacks on the board here for Green Bay. There's no first round running backs in this draft. And then we get to wide receiver. Three wide receivers that make sense, all of them are going to be gone, but I think you at least have to put them on the board in the scenario where you end up in a Randy Moss scenario where one of these guys does fall down the draft board unexpectedly, or you end up even with a Justin Jefferson scenario where he falls to, what, 22? I think you at least have to put them on the board. The only way that I think Green Bay takes a wide receiver is if it's a surefire home run, almost like Hall of Fame type profile, which there's three of those. I'm not saying they're going to be Hall of Famers, but you get my point. They are elite, elite prospects. So yes, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze at least have to be on the board. Are they going to happen for Green Bay? No. Are they going to be there? No. But I think you at least have to have them on your board in some capacity, just in the rare case of what if. So three wide receivers, no tight end. Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. Well, it's not Packer season anymore. There's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We could say the same thing here, and I get I'm talking out of both ends of my mouth a little bit with the quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, but Brock Bowers, let's be a little bit true to ourselves here too, in that with wide receiver, like, you can at least theoretically understand why Green Bay would maybe want a number one theoretical wide receiver added to the team, even if I don't necessarily think that Green Bay needs to go in that direction. I don't think they need that number one. I think they have guys that are capable of becoming that number one. It's at least understandable. Brock Bowers, what are you going to do with Musgrave, Bowers, and Kraft? It's a beautiful problem to have if you go in that direction, but if we're being realistic here, Bowers is not going to be an option with those two tight ends already on the roster. He's not going to be there at 25. You're not going to move up for him in the draft. So to me, just Brock Bowers ends up not on this list. So no quarterbacks, no running backs, no tight ends, three wide receivers that are going to be off the board. And just going back to wide receiver for the second, a Brian Thomas or an Adonai Mitchell, I don't see Green Bay going in that direction. Green Bay hasn't drafted a first round wide receiver when it's been a almost dire need at times. I don't see it when it's not a need at all, and when they have other positions that are of extreme need on this team. And we know that Green Bay is not going to draft just for need. However, you also know that they're not just going to use a draft pick on something that is probably going to be redundant to something they have on the roster. In order to take a wide receiver first round, it has to be a surefire, no doubt, home run selection. And there's only three of those. So that's why I don't have Thomas, Donnie Mitchell, any of the other top wide receivers or potential first round wide receivers on this list. So I'm going with only the three. Again, no tight ends. Offensive tackle. We've got six players that are here on the board at offensive tackle. Joe Alt, definitely gone, but we'll put him on there anyway. Olu Fashanu, Talise Fuaga, and maybe Fuaga has to move into guard, but I think he at least is in the conversation at tackle. Amarius Mims, largely due to the fact that he is a top 30 visit and is just a really good player. Obviously a premium position player as well. University of Georgia. Troy Fautanu and Tyler Guyton. Those are the first-round offensive tackles that I do think they will consider there. Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton, both top 30 visits. So anyone that you see that is bolded on this list are top 30 visits that Green Bay has, or that we've known to be confirmed in some capacity. Interior offensive line, I think the only name that goes on this list is Graham Barton. And I think the only reason he's there is because he does have that tackle versatility. I think he has the ability to come in and push Rashid Walker. I think he has the ability to push Josh Myers. I think he has the ability to push Sean Ryan. And that versatility is huge. In and of itself, if he ends up playing more on the interior, that might not be a premium position, but a player who can play five spots along the offensive line and hits all of their measurables and profiles and thresholds and everything else, to me, is a premium player. So he goes on the list as the only interior offensive lineman. Jackson Powers Johnson, just a center, didn't test. I don't see it quite as much. He is going to end up on the second round of the draft board here, but he likely goes round one, but that's where more like they took Josh Myers as a pure center. They took Elton Jenkins as a theoretical center in round two. I think Jackson Powers Johnson, more of a round two prospect for Green Bay. Defensive lineman, I think the only player here is Byron Murphy. Johnny Newton's interesting. Could he get in the conversation? Yes. Could they value his disruptiveness? Maybe. He's on the shorter side. He did not do any testing. He's a three technique, basically only, and Green Bay does have that spot filled by Wyatt and Brooks and Wooden at the moment, with LVN also having the ability to kick in. So I'm going only Byron Murphy on my list here. Two edge rushers, Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. I don't think Chop Robinson is going to do their height weight thresholds that they usually love, and just not usually their cup of tea at edge. And Latu has the neck injury. He's probably gone anyway. So I think that's another one that's probably not on their board. Linebacker, just don't see anyone that's currently being positioned to be a first-round linebacker. If they move down, maybe Edrian Cooper becomes a conversation point here. Maybe a Peyton Wilson becomes a conversation point, but not in the first round, or at least not at pick 25. So nobody on my list there. Corner, I have four. Terry Arnold, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. We've talked about these four in great detail already. Arnold and Mitchell would be move-upable players, meaning you're going to have to get into probably the top 17, 16, 15 if you want one of those two players. DeJean, you might need to work up for, but he could be there at 25. Not a perfect ideal scheme fit, but I wouldn't rule out Jeff Hafley finding a way to best use him in his defense. And I think just the playmaking versatility puts him on their board. And then McKinstry, a little bit under the athletic profile, but outside man-to-man corner, played specifically what Jeff Hafley's going to ask him to do at Alabama. They put him on an island a ton, doesn't miss their thresholds by much. I think he is on the board as well. So that's 17 players on the board. Now you could have four quarterbacks that go ahead of this. J.C. Latham is a player that's likely going ahead of this. Leatu's probably a player that's going ahead of this. So you're going to have some other players that aren't on Green Bay's specific board that very easily will go ahead of Brock Bowers is another one, right? So, and it probably another one of those wide receivers, probably Brian Thomas, probably gone. So you're going to have with these 17 players, there's going to be a couple that are there at pick 25. And this is where we talked about, right? Where when Green Bay looks at their draft board and it starts getting to pick 19, 20, they might look at this 17 player draft board, hypothetically, if this is what it looks like, and they could say, all right, we're at pick 19. And right now, Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, and Kool-Aid McKinstry are the only three that are left available. And then all of a sudden Mims goes at 20. And now you're looking at picks 21 through 24 and only Guyton and McKinstry are available. All of a sudden you get to pick 22 and or pick 21 and Guyton gets taken. And now you're pick 22 and the only first round player left on your board is Kool-Aid McKinstry. Do you want to risk it and say, hey, we think he's going to be there at 25? Or do you look and say, hey, maybe a couple of these teams ahead of us could use a corner. We better move up. That's where you start getting into. Or maybe it's only Guyton that's left or whatever it might be. That's where you start having those conversations of, is it worth it to move up? Or vice versa. you get to pick 25 on the board, right? And at pick 25, Amarius Mims is there, Tyler Guyton is there, Graham Barton is there, Cooper DeJean is there, Kool-Aid McKinstry is there, and you're like, all right, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. We know that we can go down to pick 29, and one of these players guaranteed is still on the board. And we know that the team at 29 is willing to come up and give us a third round pick. All right, we'll move down to pick 29. We pick up a third round pick, and we still get somebody that's very firmly at on our first round draft board. And maybe that ends up being Guyton. Maybe that ends up being McKinstry. Or maybe at 25, they look and say, yes, there's five players that are still available, but we value Cooper DeJean far more than we do Guyton and McKinstry. Or we value Amarius Mims far more than we do any of the other ones. And then they just sit at 25 and take that player. Those are the conversations that likely take place when you start getting to around, again, pick 19, 20, dependent upon which players are on your board. And then on the flip side too, let's say Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Alt, Byron Murphy, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Terry Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell. Let's say that they have those eight players on a tier above. And you get to pick 16, where again, Seattle is, where Green Bay's done a lot of deals with in the past. And you have a couple packages that move up perfectly, either using your second round pick or your 2 third round picks to get up to that Seattle pick. Is there one of those players that are left? Meaning one of the number one wide receivers, Joe Alt somehow, Byron Murphy somehow, again, Jared Verse or Dallas Turner get to that point, Quinyon Mitchell or Terry and Arnold, are one of those players there? And if so, is that a player that you're willing to give up that extra draft capital for? Right around that Seattle pick is where you probably start having those conversations as well to see if there's that player that's worth moving up for. 17 total players in the first round, no quarterbacks, no running backs, 3 receivers, no tight ends, 6 offensive tackles, 1 interior offensive lineman, 1 defensive lineman, 2 edges, no linebackers, and 4 corners with no safeties. Let's go to round 2. We once again have no quarterbacks on the board. Bo Nix, you know, is there a possibility they could maybe look at him late in round 2 if he all of a sudden gets there? I'm just going to say no. Is there the 0.01% multiverse out there where one of the quarterbacks randomly falls to end of round 2 and Goot's in love with them and maybe he takes them? I still say probably not. It's just not realistic. So no, there's no quarterbacks on the board in round 2. Jonathan Brooks is an interesting one. I would probably have him more on Green Bay's board in round 3. We'll put him on there just because he's the consensus number one running back. It's tough to narrow him down because he didn't do testing because he's coming off the ACL. We'll throw him on there. I don't think he's a super likely guy in round 2 for Green Bay, though. 5 wide receivers. Brian Thomas, if he gets to round 2, although it might be unlikely. Ricky Pearsall, Troy Franklin, Jalen Polk, and Malachi Corley. I think those are players that could make sense for round 2 at wide receiver if Green Bay wanted to go in that direction. Once again, I don't think there's any tight ends that make sense here. Kingsley Suamataea, I do think makes sense at offensive tackle in round 2. Jordan Morgan, Cooper Beebe, and Jackson Powers Johnson along the interior offensive line, if they're there in round 2. Interior defensive line, Chris Jenkins, Mason Smith, who was a top 30 visit, Rook Orohoro, along the defensive line, along with Michael Hall, who was a top 30 visit, Darius Robinson, and Braden Fisk. Marshawn Kneeland at edge, Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, who was a top 30 visit, so was Nealon, by the way, and Junior Colson at linebacker, Max Melton and TJ Tampa at corner, and Jaden Hicks and Cole Bishop at safeties. So 24 total players in that second round range, and Green Bay, having 2 picks in that round, should have a variety of different players in this range that they could all consider. I think the running back and wide receiver are far less likely. Suamataea, Morgan, Beebe, Johnson, the defensive lineman, Nealon, the linebackers, and the safeties are probably far more likely. I would not rule out Max Melton or TJ Tampa either. So those are the type of players that I think very much in Green Bay's wheelhouse in round 2. Worth noting, if you're hoping for a quarterback, running back, or tight end in the first 2 rounds, not a lot of options here. Only Jonathan Brooks on our board so far. So don't expect those positions to be hit early for Green Bay. Other than that, there are at least options and only 2 safeties that I think really hit Green Bay's mark for a main position of need in those first 2 rounds. Probably not anyone that makes sense in the first. Jaden Hicks and Cole Bishop, I think Hicks is the more likely of the 2, but not a ton of great options in round 2. We'll get to round 3 in just a moment. Javon Bullard's another name maybe in round 2. I have him more in that round 3 range, which we'll talk about in just a second. Let's move to round 3. Still no quarterbacks on my board. Don't think it's likely. And once you get past those first 6, I think it's, you know, I guess, you know, you've got Rattler, but Rattler's not really their type. I think you could maybe be looking at something like that if they really wanted a quarterback in round 3. I just don't think they do. So I think it's more likely day 3 they go quarterback. At running back, you finally get some options with these two third-round picks. You've got Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Will Shipley, Blake Corum, and Ray Davis. Ray Davis being a top 30 visit. I think all of them would be in play for Green Bay in round three. Jalen McMillan, Javon Baker, and Jermaine Burton, three J's here at wide receiver in round three. If Green Bay wants a receiver and they really like one of these guys, I think this is the range, and one of these three guys are probably one of the three that really makes sense for Green Bay. You finally get a couple tight ends that could make sense for Green Bay. Theo Johnson tested through the roof. He's an okay blocker. He's one of the players that you look at the testing and he tested unbelievably, and you look at the tape and you're like, are you sure? Are you sure he tested out through the roof athletically? Because I'm not so sure. But he's super athletic according to the measurables at least. And you do see some fun plays on tape, and he's an okay blocker as well. So Theo Johnson, Ben Sinnott could be in play for Green Bay at tight end if they wanted to go in that direction in round three. Patrick Paul, Kieran Amagaji, Blake Fisher, and Roger Rosengarten along the offensive tackle position. Dominic Puny, Mason McCormick, Tanner Bartolini, Brandon Coleman, and Christian Mahogany along the interior offensive line. And this is where you start getting into the meat and potatoes of that interior offensive line and offensive line depth this draft, where round three offensive line, probably a very good bet, and probably one of those nine names that we're looking at right here, very much in play for Green Bay in round three. Brandon Dorlus, Leonard Taylor III, Dwayne Carter, Tyler Davis, and Mekhi Wingo at defensive linemen. Austin Booker, one of my favorite players in this draft at edge. He doesn't quite hit their thresholds, but he was in for a top 30 visit. Trevin Wallace, really fun, fast off-ball linebacker. And Cedric Gray, another off-ball linebacker who could be in play here in round three at linebacker. Renardo Green, Kyrie Jackson, Cam Hart, Jerrion Jones, Josh Newton, Andrew Phillips, and Kalen Carson at corner in round three. And then Malik Mustafa, Javon Bullard, and Dadrian Taylor-Demerson for safety for the Packers in round three. Once again, I'll note a couple things here. Still no quarterbacks on the board, only two tight ends through the first three rounds here. Edge, very sparsely populated. And Dallas Turner and Jared Verse probably gone in round one. Austin Booker, not quite their threshold type, but in playing round three. That's why a lot of people maybe thinking Marshawn Nyland as a very likely Packers option in round two. They love those premium position guys. There's not a ton of edge rushers that really hit what Green Bay looks for. Marshawn Nyland in round two, a very viable option. He's a Packers type all day, every day. Keep an eye on him in round two. Only five off-ball linebackers up until this point: Peyton Wilson, Edrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Trevin Wallace, and Cedric Gray. And only five safeties, again, at that key position of need: Jaden Hicks, Cole Bishop, Malik Mustafa, Javon Bullard, and Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. Overall, 37 players in this third round sort of range. They once again have two picks. So I think this is where you've got a lot of depth in the draft, where Green Bay could be a little bit more flexible. Maybe they try to move their fourth round pick up to get one of these third round pick guys as well. Because even with their fourth round pick, it would not shock me if one of these players that's in the first three rounds on the board here is available for Green Bay to take in that fourth round pick as well. So they should be in a very good spot with their first six picks in this draft and likely getting players that are in their top 100 or like in the top 100 draft board with their first six picks in this draft. So that'd be a great get for Green Bay. Fourth through seventh round, a lot of different prospects here at a lot of different areas of the draft, but we'll just go position by position. Quarterback Michael Pratt, Joe Milton, and Caden Slovis make some sense based on their previous thresholds. At running back, Isaac Guarendo, Tyron Tracy Jr., Kamani Vidal, George Halani, Kendall Milton, Marshawn Lloyd, and Isaiah Davis. At wide receiver, Luke McCaffrey, Cornelius Johnson, and Jalen Coker. At tight end, this is where you finally get some tight ends that could potentially make some sense: Jaheim Bell, AJ Barner, Tip Raymond, Jared Wiley, Cade Stover, and Tanner McLaughlin. At offensive tackle, Frank Crum, Carson Barnhart, Garrett Greenfield, Giovanni Manu. In interior offensive line, Zach Zinter, who was a top 30 visit, Nick Gargiulo, Jalen Sundell, Bo Limmer, Dylan McMahon, Lyndon Robinson, Kingsley Egukin. That's a great Street Fighter name, Egukin. But anyway, I'll also say they have the ability to go just draft all the Kingsleys. They've already had Kingsley Kiki. They've got Kingsley and Igbare. They could add Kingsley Suamataea. They could add Kingsley Egukin. They could draft all the Kingsleys in the history of the NFL. So they've got the opportunity to do something very funny there. But Cedric Van Pran, Drake Nugent, Trevor Keegan, and Donovan Jennings along the interior offensive line. Again, you start seeing the depth of players that they could very much like along the offensive line position. That's why I expect them to come out with at least three, if not four, offensive linemen in this draft. Interior defensive linemen, Logan Lee, Zion Legueux, Gabe Hull, and Christian Boyd. edge rushers, Miles Cole, Eric Watts, Cedric Johnson, Jalix Hunt, and Jalen Hurrell. Inside linebackers, Edufin Olafashio, Jordan McGee, Curtis Jacobs, Tyron Hopper, and Bryce Gallagher. Corners, Willie Drew, Miles Harden, Nehemiah Pritchett, Elijah Jones, Jaquan Shepard, Omar Brown, Elijah Jones from Boston College, who played with Jeff Hafley, by the way. Safety, Jalen Key, Evan Williams, Jalen Carlies, Trey Taylor, Dominique Hampton, Kaiten Oladapo, Chris Edmonds, and Akeem Dent. Those last three all were in for top 30 visits. Again, anyone that's bold on the list were players that were in for top 30 visits. Again, we end up here with 140 players on our draft board. We went through sort of round by round, position by position. And again, you can sort of see the positional depth here. This offensive tackle position, interior offensive line has a bunch of players. So offensive line should be a ton of players that Green Bay likes on their draft board overall. Running back starting in the third round and going beyond that should be quite a few players. Probably not in the first two rounds, but once you get to round three and beyond, should be plenty of players that the Packers like. Edge rusher, a lot more weak for Green Bay, meaning they've only got four guys in the first three rounds and then only five guys after that. So not a great edge group for Green Bay. Off-ball linebacker, only five in the first three rounds, but then you do get an additional five in the rounds after that, but not super deep here either. Corner, pretty deep for Green Bay's types. Safety starts very weak, but does have some guys on day three that could potentially hit their thresholds, but or just their likes. Doesn't necessarily mean that that will fill some of the holes that they have, which could make it more likely that a Jaden Hicks is maybe somebody that they take a look at, or maybe even with their late second round pick, maybe you have to take a Malik Mustafa or a Javon Bullard who are in the third round on this board just because the position is as weak as it is. This is a good way to look at it from like a positional depth standpoint. It's also a good way to look at it from like a round by round standpoint and how you want to sort of build your draft board out. So again, 140 total prospects, 17 in round one, 24 in round two, 37 in round three, and 62 in rounds four and beyond. What I did then is I took my entire draft board and I put them in order based on Dane Brugler's top 100 guide. And then anyone after that, I put together in the consensus draft order. And then I did two mock drafts and just used the board. Like the first one, I used the board verbatim. Like I was going to take best player available on the board. Again, I used only the Packers types, every player that's on this board, and then used Dane Brugler and the consensus draft guide to put them in specific order and just took them. Whatever happened, I didn't look at positions, didn't look at other positions that were drafted already. I just took them at the players that were there based on best player available on the board. The draft, Tyler Guyton at offensive tackle, Marshawn Nyland at edge, Cooper Beebe at guard, Michael Hall Jr. along the defensive line, one of my favorite players in this draft, so I'd be thrilled with that. Cole Bishop at safety, Theo Johnson at tight end, Josh Newton at corner, Elijah Jones at corner, Edufan Olufashio at linebacker, Layden Robinson at guard, and Dylan McMahon at center. So that was my first one. Then I went through and I drafted, I did it again, just best player available, but I utilized like positional needs a little bit more, meaning if there were multiple players that were at a similar spot on the board and it was more of a position of need, I went with the position of need first. So in this one, we ended up with Graham Barton in round one, Marshawn Nyland in round two, Jaden Hicks with that second round two pick, Cooper Beebe at guard, Mason Smith along the interior defensive line, Trevin Wallace at linebacker, Josh Newton at corner, once again, Edufan Olufashio at linebacker, AJ Barner at tight end, Dylan McMahon at center, and then Kendall Milton at running back. So those were the two drafts that we ended up with just strictly using the big board. I'll say it one more time. This is not meant to specifically, it's got to be just these players. It's not meant to limit anything. And there are going to be players that are on this board that despite looking like premium Packers are going to be off Green Bay's board because of an injury or a interview or a off-field issue or whatever it might be. But as I look at it, I would be willing to bet that the vast majority of Green Bay's 11 picks are probably coming from this board. We'll see. It'll be fun to look back at it at the end of the draft and seeing how many of these guys they ended up with and how many were off of this board entirely. That'll be a fun thing to look back at after the draft. I will post this entire board on Twitter, so you have the image if you want to look at it going into the draft. I might add or remove some players going into the draft if we find out some additional information. But as of right now, this is my board. This is what I think Green Bay is most likely to do. Have fun with it. Let me know your comments below on how you think it pans out overall. That's going to do it, though. Appreciate all you guys tuning in. You guys are the absolute best all day, every day, 365 days a year. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Wang. I'll see you guys tomorrow, back at our normal time. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.